New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Mile high hello, everybody in Broncos country, and welcome into another episode of, but wait, this isn't Dove Valley Deep Divers. This is the Orange and Blue View. I am hosting this show. My name is Lance Sanderson. You all know me from Dove Valley Deep Divers. Joining me today is my good friend and colleague. He is one of the best article writers, one of the best coverage analysis guys here at milehighhuddle.com. It's DVA. Dylan, dude, how are you doing this evening? It's good to see you, and I'm so excited to be on the show with you, man.
Doing great, man, and I appreciate you coming in and running the show today. I've been a little under the weather the past almost week, and coming off of a metal concert that was 4 days and then going right into a sickness, I've been pretty low energy, and I just tested negative for that nasty bug today. So still trying to get my legs under me, but always happy to be here talking Broncos with you.
So would you say that you are down with the sickness?
100%. It's funny. Disturbed was actually there. So
yes, I'm here for this live. I'm glad you went, dude. It looked like so much fun. You were, we talked back and forth a couple of different times. We came as Romans was there. Like you and I could go down the rabbit hole talking about metal music. I mean, that's kind of our bag behind the scenes here, but I'm glad you had fun, dude. How was everything over there at the show?
Awesome, man. I don't know if you could tell, it might still be here. I got a little dot. It was much bigger. I got smacked myself in the face in the mosh pit, but overall great, you know, 4 days just hanging out with a bunch of buddies all crammed in one hotel room and moshing and listening to loud music.
There you go, dude. So the last concert I went to, actually that's not true. The last concert I went to was Journey and Toto, which was absolutely amazing. Oh, nice. The last metal show that I went to was A Day to Remember, I Prevail, and who's the third? Beartooth. A Day to Remember, Beartooth, and I Prevail.
That's a stacked show, man.
It was an awesome, awesome show down at the Fillmore in Denver. It was a badass time. I got dumped on my head because my dumbass was stupid enough to go crowd surfing. So hopefully that didn't happen to you.
Thankfully not.
All right. So guys, couple of things before we get started here. Obviously, DVA's under the weather. I'm filling in for Ron. He's got some personal stuff going on. Might be a truncated show a little bit tonight, but we'll be in here to answer any questions you guys have. So obviously, hit up the chat, light up the super chat if you want our thoughts on anything that you have for your Burning Broncos questions. Absolutely, we are willing to do everything you guys want us to do in the chat, but our topic tonight, the Broncos have made a pair of roster moves. Obviously, the familiar face returns. The Broncos waived a interior offensive lineman, Dieter something. I don't even remember his name. And brought back Blake Watson, the undrafted rookie free agent out of Memphis. A training camp superstar. This kid was very fun to watch in training camp. Obviously, a big-time playmaker, scored a couple of touchdowns. Obviously, the big one against the Indianapolis Colts. Like this kid has a lot of juice in his legs, and with the way that Audric Estime is playing right now, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see Blake Watson get a call up and just offer up a little bit more versatility, dude. So, Dylan, first things first, what do you think of Blake Watson returning to this roster?
I think any help they can get in the rushing game is a big plus. Obviously, great game against the Saints the other night. Not a great rushing team defensively, but they pounded the rock, and it was nice to see Javonte, you know, get his legs under him. Audric, like you mentioned, not so great. Very limited carries, but I believe is around 9 to 10 carries, and he's had two fumbles.
Yep.
Not great for rookie campaign, and then you got Julio doing his thing. But adding Watson back to this room is something they need for sure. Another shifty guy. He can catch. He can run. Get him on the outside. He can really hit the Jets.
Watson, I think, is a player that the Broncos need to kind of utilize more. And I know that there's rumors going around that the Saints might be willing to move on from Alvin Kamara. And I know that he's kind of debunked those things. But we're looking for a player here for this Broncos offense that kind of fills that similar role. And I think that Watson can actually do a lot of those things. He's not big enough to really be a reliable back in terms of pass protection, but if you want to get him out on the boundary, throw him the football, let him just go create some plays, it sucks because I was such a big fan of Tyler Bidet for the last couple of seasons. Like every time that dude touches the football, something good happens. And then he has the weird spinal injury. He's on injured reserve right now. Like that's terrible situation. But you bring back a guy that has this electric playmaking ability, some speed, some burst through the hole. Like he's got good vision. Blake Watson was actually probably the second best running back for the Broncos in preseason, quite honestly. If we're being honest here, it was Tyler Bidet and Blake Watson. So if you have the ability to bring more juice to this offense, like I'm here for it because there are still some definite struggles. And we're going to get into that here in just a few minutes. But, dude, you've got Jaleel. You've got Javonte, and those guys are playing really well. Javonte had his best game as a Bronco since he tore his ACL without question. I mean, 18 carries for 88 yards, 2 touchdowns. The one was obviously an untouched run where it's as easy as it gets there. But this running game, man, I'm really starting to appreciate what they're doing up front with the running game and starting to focus on these guys carrying the ball out of the backfield, man. What do you think?
Yeah, like you mentioned, the juice is much needed from Watson there, and it's something they need to focus on going forward because obviously worked, and you go up, and we'll go in depth a little more later, but the Panthers, similar problems there in the run defense.
Yep.
But yeah, Javonte looked good, and I think the biggest thing for him, obviously his knee injury, and he was a little slow off of that. We saw that last year and a little bit this year, but his confidence, and he looked very confident against the Saints, especially like you mentioned, that walking touchdown, like just awesome stuff from him, the O-line. And you still see that mentality of him wanting to be a battering ram. And hopefully he can keep that confidence over his next few games and the Broncos can roll some momentum going forward.
Yeah, we got a question coming in here from Deuce from New Orleans. First off, welcome to the show. Thank you. I haven't been around nearly often enough. And honestly, a lot of people showing some support for me in the chat, Todd Osendorf. New job is going well, and hopefully I have got it figured out that maybe I'll be around more often here, especially on Dove Valley Deep Divers. So I don't know the whole situation with Deuce from New Orleans. If you're new to the show, welcome in. Thank you so much for joining us. If you've been here, welcome back, and hopefully you enjoy the show tonight. Asking, how long will Bidet be out? I don't know. I know they put him on injured reserve, so he's going to miss. That was week three, so he'll be out at least for another week or so. So hopefully we'll see him here in a couple of weeks and get him back into the fold here for this Broncos offense, which – I want more juice, but at the same time, I kind of understand exactly what they're doing here. They're just trying to take care of the football, stay within the rhythm of the offense, run the football, focus on it, and keep the ball out of harm's way, which is probably the one thing that Bo Nix has done best for the offense right now is he's not turning the football over. He's not taking these sacks. Are we scoring a whole bunch of points? No, not necessarily, but at least you're not putting your defense in bad situations. You're allowing this aggressive defense to be the focal point of this team. So if Bidet comes back here soon, I think that's a big boost for this Broncos offense. And if you can get Blake Watson in the fold here for the next couple of weeks, man, it might be some signs of positivity moving forward.
Yeah, like you mentioned, taking care of the ball has been a big thing for Bo Nix, and you usually don't see that at a rookie quarterback's obviously early. He had his struggles throwing interceptions and whatnot, but he's calmed down a lot there. And he's an extension to that run game.
Yeah.
That's helped him so much. And you even had that design run where he took off to the left for, I believe it was a first down, but
yep.
That's a very underrated weapon. And that's something he can use while he learns the game, and while the game slows down for him, he has that athleticism to lean on while he figures that out. And just figuring out the running back rotation will be something that's interesting, just because you have all those guys in the room. And you mentioned the Kamara trade earlier. Maybe if it was he had 3 years off of 3 years younger, rather, maybe you might consider that. But there's so many running backs coming out of this draft that I'm interested in that I'm not even going to entertain trading for a higher level guy like Kamara.
But especially with his $30 million cap hit, I believe it is next year. Like, the way that contract is structured in New Orleans is absolutely horrible. If you want to try to trade for a guy, you've got to figure out a way to renegotiate that contract. Obviously, then figure out a way to send some kind of draft capital, which the Broncos actually do have a lot of capital in their bag right now, full complement of draft picks for the first time in a handful of years now. So are you willing to move on from a to me, if you can get Kamara and on a rework contract for like a fifth round pick, then sure, I'm here for that life. I think that he adds enough of a dynamic presence to this offense to make it worth that. But at the same time, like, I still think you need to focus on these young guys. And Javonte's in the last year of his rookie deal. Do you need to play him more to see if offer him a short term extension? See how this offense continues to evolve around this running attack, rather than bring in a guy who, while is probably the second best running back at the NFL, right? No, third best at least, behind Derrick Henry, because Christian McCaffrey's hurt right now. But Alvin Kamara's a dude, man. Like, this dude is a dynamic player. You put him up side by side with Christian McCaffrey, who everyone took number one overall in their fantasy draft. The statistics are very similar. Like, this guy's a player. But at $30 million for next season, and then I think 25 for the year after that, like, it's not worth it. Let's jump to the chat really fast here, guys. Phil McLaughlin jumping in. What's up, Phil? How are you, sir? He says, good evening, Dylan, and hello, Lance. Good to see you on the pod again. Watson could be a nice ad, especially on the outside. Hashtag Buckham, hashtag MHH for life, hashtag Broncos for life. We also got Eric Flynn dropping some stars on Facebook. Nothing to say, just showing some love. But if you got any comments right behind that, Eric, we will definitely get back to them here in just a couple of minutes. Want to say hello to everybody else in here. We obviously shouted out Deuce. We got Joe Brewer, Daniel Garcia, David Yunkin in the house as usual, Money Moore, Todd Ostendorf, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights, William Catalano, a lot of familiar faces in here on the show tonight. So thank you all for joining us. Let's get to the meat and potatoes of our show here, Dylan. You and I, when we first spoke today, talking about what do we want to talk about? Like, obviously, we got the game breakdown, the gut reaction, we got the aftermath with Eric and Kenny Booker last night on Dove Valley Deep Divers. Today, where do we go? We're kind of in this not quite bye week, but a pseudo bye, obviously 10 days until the next Broncos game. How do we keep the momentum going forward? Obviously, this team started off 0-2, which was not a great start, to tell you the truth. Then you go win an ugly game you blow out Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay. You go to New York, you win an ugly game up that way. You come back home, win another game against the Raiders. You lose against the Chargers, get another win against the I'm losing my train of thought here. Anyways, you've got momentum here. You win a game against the Saints on Thursday night. You got some momentum here. This team is now 4-3. They're moving forward into week 8. They got the Carolina Panthers coming up this next week, which is a terrible team, probably the worst team in the NFL right now. How do you continue to keep this momentum building, and how do you build around this team moving forward? And Dylan, I'm going to start off with you. Let's start off on the offensive side of the football. What is the one thing that you want this team to continue to build upon to keep this momentum going forward?
We've kind of talked about it a little already, but this run game is so important, and not just for, you know, getting the run, keeping them honest in the passing game and whatnot, but you want to take some pressure off of Bo Nix. Obviously, you've seen how jumpy he is at the start of games, or he's got happy feet and he's not setting to throw, or, you know, he doesn't have the arm strength to fade back and throw throws. You know, he can't do that sort of thing. So he needs to settle down. And the best way to do that is get that strong run game going. And I mentioned earlier, the Panthers run defense is also pretty lackluster. So that's something they should be looking to attack, but in general, they need to establish the run game early. You can't be get down two scores and be like, okay, guys, let's start running the ball now. Like that's you're almost out of it at that point. And Sean Payton, hopefully he's been pretty stubborn when it comes to the run game, especially early. Hopefully this last week, and I know against the Saints who have a terrible run defense, he figured that's what they're going to attack. Hopefully that still carries over. We keep that run game going. It's a vital part, especially with a rookie quarterback.
I absolutely agree with you. And like you said, you know, the New Orleans Saints, obviously number five, like the worst, the fifth worst defense against the run. This is according to NFLplus.com. 146.7 yards per game allowed coming into this week. The Panthers are even worse than that. They allow 153.5 yards per game on the ground. And something that I've been kind of behind the scenes talking in our group chat, and we don't bring the group chat into the conversation very often here, but in the group chat, I've said, you know, we need to get more creative in the running game. Why are we continuously running duo and inside zone? And I understand that that's a big staple of this Broncos offense. But when you go back to the New York Jets game and you watch Javonte Williams, he had a fantastic game against the Jets. And that's a quality defensive line up there. I mean, Quinnen Williams is one of the best interior defensive linemen on the planet right now. And the Broncos took it to the Jets. Javonte Williams was running like a man with his hair on fire. And Dylan, what they were doing schematically up front was a far cry different from what we have seen from this Broncos running attack for at least the first couple of weeks. We go into the Jets, they're starting to pull offensive linemen. They're pulling Ben Powers. They're pulling Quinn Meinerz. They're pulling Garrett Bowles across the formation. And they're really utilizing the lack of Javonte Williams' vision in the running game and saying, follow this guy. This guy's going to run directly in front of your face. Follow him. And then tuck your head down and get north and south and get going. Against the Saints, it was too easy. They were blowing holes open right and left. I mean, that first touchdown run he had, untouched eight-yard touchdown run. Like it was a beautiful play design, a beautiful play call, and perfectly executed. I think this team needs to not only rely more on the running game just in and of itself, but continue to be creative. And this also goes back into a point that you had with Bo Nix. Utilizing the quarterback run game, getting him more comfortable within the offense, utilizing the RPO look, the read option look, getting him on the move, like utilize that running game, the creativity that you can have up front with an offensive line that is dominating people in the running game right now. It's fun to watch this offensive line. That, to me, accentuating on just focusing on the run game, continue to get more creative with it, man.
Exactly. And it, no matter who's back there, too, because Jaleel, he had a few explosive runs.
Yep.
Tonight too. He almost broke one for a long touchdown. It's just, it, like you mentioned, especially with Javonte, his vision has been just terrible. He'll yep. run into the back of his line and say, yeah, we'll just push forward here. And that just doesn't work. You'd like. And like you mentioned, they make it easy for him. Hey, we're going to pull this guard. We're going to pull this tackle. Follow him. Get behind him like he's the dang fullback. And run the ball down their throat. And we need to see more of that. And, yeah, the creativity with Bo in the run game. Obviously, there's the times where he's either no one's getting open or he's holding the ball too long and he can scramble around and make a play. But those design runs, too, they've been biting on those pretty good because I still don't think people really get how – I don't want to make it seem like he's like some Lamar Jackson level athlete because he's nowhere near that.
No,
but he is a very solid athlete. He's deceptively quick, I would say. So just using Bo more. Obviously, you don't want to run him into the ground, but he's got those legs. Use him more. Get a little more creative using Jaleel and Javonte, and this run game is going to keep humming.
Well, I think you also have the added context here of understanding what Troy Franklin brings to this offense. They've handed the football off to him a couple times. They've gotten Marvin Mims involved on some jet sweeps, some reverse motions, some stuff like that, that just offers more accentuating creativity. And I think that as much as everybody wants Bo Nix to go out and throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns like Jaden Daniels, that's just not his game right now. He's not seeing it and not trusting it well enough. Take the pressure off of him and run the damn football because that's what you built this team to do to begin with. So that I'm right there with you, dude. Like, be creative, focus on the running game, take the pressure off of Bo Nix, and you'll see this offense kind of start to hum. We got to go to the chat here though, because Papa Chad, jumping in here off the top rope with a holy hell $100 donation. Thank you, Chad. Thank you so much. Saying sup, dudes. Much love, Bo for Prez. I'm gonna go off for a minute here because you know everything with me and my work life right now, personal life, has made it so that I'm not able to do the shows or create content or do anything the way that I usually do. And for Chad to show up here and to continue to allow me to be a part of this family, a part of this community, is it cannot go understated how much I appreciate Chad. Like, quite honestly, he's the man. We went to the meet and greet and he showed nothing but love the entire time. Nothing but appreciation. Comes in here with a big time super chat. So let's shout out Chad Jensen for the man, the myth, the legend that he is, to help grow and cultivate this community the way that he has.
Yeah. We wouldn't be nearly as big as we were without Chad, and he's the captain of the ship and he's steering us in the right direction always. And just like you mentioned, the support he showed us, whether it's at the meet and greet or even just shooting us a text every once in a while, ask how we're doing. Love to see it. Thank you, boss man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Chad. We definitely appreciate you, man. I want to give you more love than that, but I don't know if I can actually do that without getting a little bit R-rated, but no, I appreciate you, boss. I really do. I really do. And I appreciate everybody for joining in here. We got 170 people in the room right now watching the show. And I couldn't be more proud to be a part of this community and proud to be a part of this show. And thank you, Dylan, for having me on. I definitely appreciate that. We also got Phil McLaughlin jumping in here really quick, throwing some stars, showing some love here on Facebook. One thing I notice is when Bo runs either on a design play or a scramble, he's had receivers open and not seen them. One thing that makes a great quarterback is seeing these guys when moving. I agree with this. And I think that this is something that needs to be a focal point moving forward. Like I said, you're on a mini bye week right now. You come off of Thursday night football. You're off until the following Sunday. You've got 10 days here. And I think that three things need to happen here with Bo Nix. One, you need to slow him down with his processing. You need to put him in situations to make him more comfortable, which will then turn into my second point, work on your footwork. Continuously understand that you don't need to run all of the time. You don't need to freak out every time your first read is not there and then try to make plays with your legs. And three, get your eyes open. Make it easier for him to see these things. Understand where your players are at. And when you do extend to make plays, don't just look to run the football. Look to extend plays with your legs and then throw the football down the field, because there are often times where players are wide open working even in the same direction as you when you extend the play with your legs. Keep your eyes upfield, throw the ball down the field, take some shots, and I think that that is going to really help his development right now.
Yeah, you bring up a great point. You see a lot of the times Bo kind of takes his eyes away from his receivers and he's like, I'm committing to running and I'm just going to go for it. And you know, you don't have to be Superman every play, man. You're a rookie quarterback, and you got to learn. You got to work slow before you can sprint like that. And hopefully, like you mentioned, with this, we'll call it a mini bye, they really focus on his footwork, and they focus on, hey, maybe keep your eyes up just a little longer before you run. You might have a guy open, you can get a big gain. And Bo's actually, he's pretty good at throwing on the run, which something I'm sure they'll utilize more and more, but his uncanny ability as well to avoid sacks. He's got eyes on the back of his head. It's crazy. And that's something you can't teach. So that's a big plus. But yeah, just keeping his eyes downfield just a little longer. I don't want you to commit to a run, because it's worked out a lot. Obviously he's just, you know, I'm going to drop my helmet and I'm going to run. But there are plays being left on the table and yards being left on the table when he just commits to running immediately. So hopefully if he can get hammered into his head this week and the rest of the season, hey man, just keep your eyes up a little longer, just hold out a little longer, and you could get a 10 plus yard completion, hopefully.
Yeah. I think another thing that you need to do here is tying all this stuff back together. And I'm not going to fully absolve Bo Nix for his sins, because he definitely needs to step up and start playing better. He needs to play within the rhythm of the offense, get the ball out of his hands when it's on time, not play as, I call it, a see it and shoot it player, where he has to see it before he throws the football. And then when he does see it, he's still late getting the ball out of his hands. Something that he was really praised for coming out of Oregon. And I said a lot of the same things, was his processing ability and understanding where to go with the football it was one of his biggest strengths. Obviously his footwork and accuracy there tied into that as well. You're not seeing that right now. And I think a big thing of this comes into getting him comfortable early in the game. And I'm not going to like absolve him of everything, but I do want to see Sean Payton not necessarily get like creative in the running game and rely on that. There are times where Bo Nix, like early in games, you can tell he's got the yips. He's got like excited, happy feet. He's not really seeing it the way that he needs to. Why are we running some longer developing plays? And I understand you want to push the ball down the field and create explosives. And yeah, I get that. Your first 15 plays, you want to set the tone for the offense. How about we get the young kid into a rhythm quickly and start him off with some quick, easy, short level throws, some quick game slants, some drag routes, mesh concepts. Let's see, get some slant flat. Like there are some things that you can do with Bo and what he does well, getting the ball out of his hands quickly, that can really settle him down and get him into the rhythm of the game. And I want to see more of that early in the contest, because let's go to the Devon Bailey throw. Mm-hmm. They ran a read option. It was an RPO read option with a front side slant directly in front of his face. He hits Devon Bailey for a 20-yard gain. Can we get more of that in the first series and not in the third quarter? That's what I'm talking about. When I question the play calling, I'm not saying that Sean Payton's doing a bad job here, because their player is open all over the place. Let's get Bo Nix in the rhythm that he needs to be early.
Yeah, and you'd think he'd cater more to that with a rookie quarterback. Everyone, you know, makes a big stink about, oh, he's a little older or whatever, you know, coming into the league. It's still the NFL. It's a different beast. You got to get your guy comfortable. This is your dude. He's not – you know, he drafted Bo to run his system. It's not going to be perfect year one, Sean. You got to bring him along still. He's not going to be your next Drew Brees right away, you know, in terms of even just having the offense down or seeing what he's supposed to and reading plays here, 1, 2, 3. It's just you got to make it easier on him. It's not babying him whatsoever. Like, he's a rookie. Yeah, you got to do that. Get him comfortable so through – 4 quarters, he plays good football instead of just the fourth, the third and fourth. Like, what did we see with Russell Wilson all last year? Oh, I guess I'll decide to start playing at the end of the game. It's like, okay, we're in a hole because of this. And you can't consistently play like that. You can't play from behind all the time going into the fourth quarter. That's just not winning football.
No, I think that there's a kind of tying back into Russell Wilson for last year specifically. Later in football games, you saw the offense go more up tempo and kind of keep the, you know, things a little bit more truncated, keep the play calls a little bit shorter. And as Joe Brewer points out here, part of Bro's problem at times is Sean and his long play calls with constantly shifting in personnel groupings. I 100% agree with this comment.
Yep.
Let's let these guys get out there, and it's an offensive lineman saying, it's really kind of an athlete saying, get lathered up, get yourself into the flow of the game. And when you're constantly switching out receivers, switching out tight ends, switching out running backs, you're shortening the opportunity for this offense to really get settled in, because you're changing things so fast. If you allow these guys to get on the field and really get the flow of the game, get themselves lathered up and get them into rhythm a little bit, that would really help out a lot, man. What do you think about that?
Yeah, because, I mean, there's been plenty of times where you're breaking the huddle with 10 seconds left. Mm-hmm. these unnecessarily long play calls. And I know I've seen plenty of people wherever, you know, in the media or whatever, being like, oh, well, it's the offense and this is how he's supposed to run. It's like, you can simplify it just a little more, I think. We can't be breaking the huddle with 10 seconds, because then you get out there and you're like, oh, shoot, I can't check out of this. Or even if I try to, where the play clock is going to hit zero, and then you're screwed and you get a 5-yard penalty. So yeah, it's just, you can't keep shifting out these personnel groups consistently either. I mean, you can, but it's going to make it harder on your young quarterback. Like the stop, it's like traffic, you know, the stop, start, and you get frustrated. Yep. And you see even Bo at times looking back at the sideline, being like, okay, like, wait, what did you say? Or like, yep, get it to me. And it's just, it's just unnecessary to have play calls that long, in my opinion.
Well, I agree with you. Like, we're talking like, for example, you're talking switch to Viper right, F shift, 272 X stick, Z over F follow, as compared to slot right dragon. It's the same play call. It's literally the same play call. Why are we doing, you know, 15 word play calls in when we can say four words and just make it easier for everybody? I get it. Coaches are difficult and they want to make it so easy for these players to understand. But when you got to spit that out of your mouth, when you're swirling and I don't want to say scrambling or drowning out there on the football field, simplify it just a little bit. It doesn't have to be so verbose in what you're trying to verbiage, as Justin Otten likes to say, but like, just be quicker, be more fluid in the way that you're designing this offense. And I think that might be an unfair criticism of Sean Payton, because we're talking, you know, a guy that's 24 years old, was the longest tenured quarterback in college football history with 61 starts, and apparently a very good processor. Let's just calm down a little bit on this. Like, it makes it way more difficult than it needs to be. I want to grab this comment here from Money More. First things first, first time seeing your name in the chat, and if you've been here before, thank you for coming back. Appreciate you. Welcome into the Orange and Blue View. Throw to Sutton more often. Bo needs to learn that he's open even if he's covered. And I agree with this a lot, but also at the same time, I disagree with it in a certain extent, because I think that the Broncos need to utilize Cortland Sutton more often in the offense based on the plays that I would like to see Bo Nix operating. But at the same time, Cortland Sutton needs to be better, quite honestly. He didn't get any targets against the Saints. The offense didn't dictate that. But when you get the opportunity, Cortland Sutton needs to be more than just a contested catch receiver. He needs to learn how to get open. Like, he's 2.4 yards per attempt in terms of separation this year. It's terrible. Like, he's got to figure out a way to get open way more often.
Yeah, and I get what you mean, Mooney, but and like you mentioned, the offense, at least this last week, it was very evident that Sutton wasn't the catalyst. He wasn't the focal point of it. It was, let's run the ball down their throat because that's where they're worst. And it worked out. You got the W. Sucks to suck, fantasy owners, right? But, and like you mentioned, Sutton needs to be, I don't see him as a true number one, obviously. But it's like, man, you got to have that dog in you. Like, how are you making these insane, amazing catches? And then sometimes the easy ones just brick right off your hands. And like you mentioned, getting separation, he's got to find some way, because he can't be like, well, I'm like the 50-50 ball guy. You can't expect me to get separation. It's like, dude, you're in the NFL. Let's work a little harder at getting open. You want targets? Get open, man.
Yep. Well, especially with a rookie quarterback that right now is struggling to process what he's seeing defensively. Like, I don't know if he's struggling to process it. I think he's not trusting what he's processing. And that's a big part of why I think that I want to see more of the quicker passing game, the stuff that makes Bo really comfortable within what this offense is doing. Because listen to Sean Payton. He'll tell you, Bo Nix is comfortable. Take him out to lunch one day and you can see his confidence and yada, yada, yada. Like, okay, cool, dude. I can see it on tape. He's not comfortable operating in the offense you want him to be operating in right now. He's not comfortable taking a five-step drop coming out of shotgun, putting himself 11 yards behind the line of scrimmage and driving a deep dig to his left-hand side. Yeah, he's capable of doing that, and he had success against the Chargers doing it. In like short anecdotal experiences, sure. Like, let's be a broader discussion into this. Where does he succeed, Dylan? Like, what do you think that he does the best right now? Is it standing back, surveying the field and holding on to the football, or is it getting the ball out of his hands quickly and allowing his players to go make plays for him?
I think it's running the ball.
yeah.
And it's, you know, we obviously don't want to like totally, you know, poo-poo on Bo Nix here, but, and obviously there's going to be a lot of people who are like, well, it's just his first year. We can't get too down on him. It's like, you're right, but we can still point out, hey, I want to see some of this. It doesn't have to be every game, but I need to see a little bit. I need to take something in by the end of the year. I need to take something into next year to say, okay, he can do this. Yep. Let's see him do it more consistently. But we need to see that first. I'm not just going to give him a full pass just because he's a rookie.
I'm with you 100% on that. And so coming out of the Saints game, I was listening to a radio station and they had the text line coming in, and this is where I try to come at from my point of view, talking about Broncos football, doing what I used to do with Dove Valley Deep Divers. And I'll bring it to you here on Orange and Blue View. Objective criticism. Okay. Objective criticism is absolutely needed if you're going to be able to tell the truth and explain to everyone. And I'm not calling anybody dumb here or saying you guys don't know football. I hate when people say that, but let's be honest about this conversation right now. Yes. The Broncos won handily against the New Orleans Saints. It was a dominating effort up front. It, like, plain and simple. Yes, absolutely 100%. The Broncos scored 33 points. They scored 26 points on offense. They should have put up 50. Because easily. Right now, this quarterback, Bo Nix, is having struggles as a rookie, and absolutely we need to put that caveat into there. But you've got to make the basic plays the basic plays. You've got to make the throws that are consistently required of you being a quarterback at the NFL level. We can have a hoorah, let's have fun, yes, the Broncos won conversation, but let's talk about how this team could get better. Because right now you're playing with the number one defense in the NFL, in my opinion. And yes, I'm talking even over the Minnesota Vikings, who are fantastic. The Broncos defense right now, especially considering the fact that they don't have any premier top talent outside of Pat Surtain, who didn't even play against the Saints, and you held that team to 3 points offensively until a garbage time touchdown. This team is built to go to the playoffs right now. It is. You got a quality running game and a good defense. You just got to have your quarterback make the plays necessary. And I think that objective criticism is definitely founded in today's NFL and the way that we talk about this team.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny you mentioned having to beat them by more points. My parents asked me, oh, what'd you think about the game? Because I was trapped in my room by myself.
So right.
Crack the door open, you know, and they asked how I felt. Like, aren't you excited you won? I was like, I expected them to win. It was, you know. And you know, maybe that's pessimistic, I don't know, but it's like I expected them to win. I think there was a lot to clean up, and call me a curmudgeon or whatever, but there were plays to be made, and I'm not going to get excited over beating a Saints team that ended up down their top two corners, their top two receivers, and had Spencer Rattler back there, who is a talented quarterback, but he is a rookie playing in his second game on a short week.
Yeah.
So –
with 17 players on the injury report and missing half your offensive starters too. Like, let's be honest here. The Saints were doomed to struggle.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, and, you know, that's not saying I'm happy to get the win column. That's great. But like I said, I expected that. Now when you see Bo Nix in that first drive, especially, it's like you split the difference between two of those receivers there. I believe it was Kroll and Troy Franklin. It's like, man, you got to have that. Gosh, you got to have that. But
yep.
You know, we can criticize and be patient at the same time. Two things can happen at the same time. You know, I want to see more of this, but I understand that it's going to take time. But to not bring it up at all, it feels like a failure, would feel like a failure on my part.
Exactly. And see, that's the thing is we're paid analysts, guys. As much as I don't want to admit it, I get paid to do this. Like I get paid to talk about Denver Broncos football. I get paid to – this is my job. It's not my full-time job. This is my job to give you these opinions. And I can't just shoot butterflies and rainbows all over the place. I have to be objective in my criticism. And Pro 16 comes in here, said that Lance is just being too hard on Bo. He is a rookie. And there's another one. Cletus Cassidy coming in on Facebook saying Nick's at the point, isn't at the point where he can make plays as shown by our third down percentage. Todd comes in and said, Lance, keep in mind, brother, Russell Wilson couldn't score more than 20 points on average. And yes, all of these things are probably true. Yes, Bo Nix is a rookie Pro 16. So is Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is well on his way to being offensive rookie of the year and maybe even in the MVP conversation. He's a rookie. Is he not playing elite level football right now? CJ Stroud last season was an MVP conversation. He won the offensive rookie of the year at the quarterback position. And yes, I understand those guys are playing ridiculous level of football for a rookie. Caleb Williams is playing great. He threw for 300 yards and 4 touchdown passes this last week. It's the first time that the Chicago Bears have scored 35 points on offense, scoring 5 touchdowns on offense in back-to-back games since 1956, guys. That's a rookie quarterback doing this, okay? I get it. Bo's a rookie. And yeah, he's the 6th quarterback drafted in this class and picked at number 12. I get all the context behind it. Trust me, I do. I'm not just being hard on Bo because he's a rookie. In fact, I actually give him a little bit of credit for the development that he has shown as a rookie. I'm also being hard on Sean Payton here for not putting Bo Nix in the right situation as a rookie quarterback. Exactly. No, you can have multiple things be true at the same time. I'm not just being hard on him to be hard on him. I understand he's a rookie, but damn it. You've got 2 rookie quarterbacks right now tearing up the NFL.
Playing to their strengths. That's a big thing. It's a huge thing.
Yep.
And it's just – and listen, this is by no way we're not saying, hey, Bo Nix has to be rookie of the year or this is a failed campaign. No, that's – no one is saying that. But that's the thing. People see black and white. We're trying to work in that gray area. I understand he's a rookie. It's going to take time, and I have patience. Just because I'm saying, hey, I want to see this and this doesn't mean I'm writing him off or I'm being impatient. That just means, hey, here's my checklist. This is when I want to see some things by the end of the season. Some we haven't seen, some we have. He looks like a different quarterback from Oregon to here, obviously, at college and NFL, but in terms of his strengths, even his accuracy, something's a little different there. And no one's giving up on him. We're certainly not doing that.
No, but God, no.
You need to have, as us as analysts, we need to have that healthy balance of, I am a fan of this team, but I have to be real about it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And I understand there is a lot of Bo Nix fans in here. And there's this, you know, stigma because some of us, myself included, I said before the draft, I like Bo, I don't love him. But he's here now, and I'm going to get behind him, and I'm going to be real and objective about what I'm seeing. I'm not going to – you don't want to completely kill the kid, and you don't want to coddle him like a baby. Yep. You got to find that happy medium.
So the one thing that I heard, and I'm going to give credit to Mark Mosier here on Altitude Sports Radio there in Denver. It's kind of like the lady that's – pushing around her 5-year-old toddler in a stroller at Disneyland. He's 5 years old. Let the guy walk. Let him walk. Why are you pushing him around in a stroller at Disneyland? Let the guy walk. Let him open up his potential. Let him actually go and explore some things. And I think that Bo actually does need a little bit of that because I do think that, like I see all these comments coming in, like Lance doesn't get it, you know, that they're all ripping me.
And we hate him.
I'm a Bo Nix hater. And if you watch my reaction when the Broncos drafted Bo Nix on the MHH live, the live feed for the draft, which we do every single year, was awesome. My reaction when they drafted Bo Nix was, okay, all right, I guess we'll figure this out.
If that's Sean's guy, I mean.
Yeah. Okay, then fine. Call me a hater all you guys want to. I'm going to be real with you. Bo Nix needs the training wheels taken off of him a little bit here. But also at the same time, he has to learn how to play better because his footwork right now is so terrible and he's missing early open throws and easy plays that he should be making even as a rookie. Yes, I'm being hard on the kid for sure. But at the same time, you got to start playing within what you do best. And Sean Payton needs to put him in better situations to help him accentuate those skill sets. I will fully acknowledge that it's not just on Bo Nix. I fully believe that Sean Payton has some fault in this as well. But damn it, guys, you can't ask me to be objective with you guys and just pounce on Bo Nix every time that he turns around and makes a quality throw, because five throws before that were absolutely horrible.
Mm-hmm. We want to keep it right here in the middle some way.
and I'm not, I like, guys, I'm not coming at you. I'm not coming at you individually here. Like I feel like this is a thing that needs to be said to everybody. Like, objective criticism. If you've ever watched me on Dove Valley Deep Divers, this is what Eric and I did, was objective criticism. We were always real with you. We always gave you our true and honest opinions while also praising praise where it needed to and heaping criticism where it needed to be. I don't feel like anything that I've done has, even tonight or even on Twitter or whatever, has ever stepped outside of the basis of objective criticism. It's objective all the way around. Yes.
Yeah. it's, and I see people, oh, you know, Jaden, Todd saying Jaden was objectively wasn't playing great, but come on, he was a second overall pick. So I don't care about draft position. I don't care. And it's not to say, oh, well, you know, you could succeed anywhere getting drafted somewhere, but, where you're drafted, but Jaden Daniels has an offensive coordinator that plays to his strength. Yes. He also has Terry McLaurin. He's got some better weapons over there, but every situation is different. And you know what? Bo Nix was getting talked up a lot in, you know, even the pre-draft process up until now. And it's like, me personally, I was like, okay, cautious optimism. Let's not get overly excited. Let's not coddle him like a baby and be like, he can do no wrong, because we see those mistakes, but we want to see him build off of those. We want to see him learn. And that's fine. And if we criticize him, that's not being like, oh, he sucks, he can't learn, he's never going to fix this. No, it's like, I want to point these things out so later down the line I could be like, look, he got better here. And that's just, you know, basic how you want to see a quarterback develop.
Yeah. All right, we got to jump into the super chats here, because D-Dub, I believe this is Dale. I think this is Dale. If I'm wrong, then I apologize. But DW96734 jumping in here off the top rope with a $50 super chat. Thank you so much, D-Dub, for jumping in here. Chad is the man. Good people. Good community here, Broncos. Let Bo settle down and grow. It's a huge and complicated playbook. Look at his stats compared to, say, Pat Mahomes. Mahomes has 6 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. Bo is 5-5. The main thing is he's winning. He's a rookie. Broncos for life. And yes, DW, first things first, thank you so much for the support. This means more than you know. It helps keep the lights on here at MHH. Every one of you guys here, 182 people in the room right now, you guys don't underestimate how much we appreciate it. And D-Dub, again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The main thing is winning. Yeah. And as of Dylan, I heard an interesting conversation the other day, because people are like getting pissed off at these radio show hosts, these media members, people like you and me out here on the Orange and Blue View. They're getting pissed off at us for trying to be, you know, objective in our criticism. Well, guess what? The main thing right now is the Broncos are winning football games. Yeah. I got a specific question I want to ask you though, based on this though. Because as it stands, the Broncos obviously 4-3. They get ready to move on to the Carolina Panthers. Probably going to be 5-3 going down the stretch. First things first, did you expect 4-3 in the first 7 weeks? And secondly, how does 4-3 affect your opinion? And do you have to move the goalposts on your expectations? Because That's a big point that I want to get at.
Yeah, well, so before the season started, like right before the season started, I set my wins to 6, maybe 7. And because obviously they had the bet odds at 5.5. Yeah, I'm taking that. Yep.
Yeah, I'll take the over on that.
But you know, if you would have told me, hey, we're going into Tampa Bay and we're squashing Baker Mayfield, we never would have guessed that. You have New York, Aaron Rodgers, that defense, not a freaking chance in the world I thought we were going to win that game. Hell, the first two games were pretty winnable there too.
Yep.
But did I think this team would be 4-3 at this point? No, I not at all. And that's not because I hate them. And I, you know, it was just the amount of talent. I was saying all offseason, this wide receiver core, not very good. Tight ends, not very good. Running backs, we'll see. It's a mixed bag. And you got a rookie quarterback on top of that. No, I think I had to shift my expectations. Do I think this could be a playoff team? As long as Bo Nix keeps protecting the ball and they can get enough points, I think anything's possible.
My answer to the second question in terms of do I have to move the goalposts a little bit in terms of my expectations? Yes, absolutely. And I don't think it has anything to do with offensively. It has to revolve around the defense and specifically the secondary. Because it go back in June or July, I don't remember exactly when it was, Eric Trickle and I on Dove Valley Deep Divers went and we ranked this team by position. And the safety room and the tight end room were easily, and then linebackers right there as well, were easily the three worst rooms on this Broncos roster. There were so many questions. The secondary outside of Pat Surtain was such a gigantic question mark. The defense in general was it lacks depth. It lacks talent. We all said these same things. Everybody said the same damn thing about this Broncos defense. And they couldn't stop the run last season. And they didn't do anything to help that until they got Jonathan Franklin Myers. And even then, that's not a great addition. Bull. I almost cussed, by the way. I almost cussed just there. No, I think that the way that this Broncos defense is playing right now, you absolutely have to change your expectations for this team. And you absolutely have to place it at the feet of Sean Payton and Bo Nix. And you absolutely need to expect this team to win 4 more games this year and compete for the playoffs. That's how expectations change over 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. Because this team is talented enough, especially defensively, and they're playing well enough on the defensive side of the football that you can maintain and stay in any game, period, no matter what period, whether it's at Kansas City, at Baltimore, at the Los Angeles Chargers, at home against the Falcons. It does not matter. This defense is good enough for you to maintain and stay in games, and you have to expect your offense to take steps forward, even with a rookie quarterback. Plain and simple, point blank, period, end of discussion. The goalposts did shift because as DW comes in here and says, the main thing is he's winning. Yep. This team is now winning football games. Can they win games because of Bo Nix? Or are they going to continue to win? Exactly. That's the one thing I want to see. When I came into the season, Bo Nix, like the whole thing was developing Bo Nix. I don't care about winning football games. It doesn't matter. I didn't expect them to be 4-3 going into week 8. Well, now we're here. And now I want to see big jumps on the offensive side of the football, man.
Damn right. That is the big question. Are you winning because of Bo Nix? Right now, no. You got your defense. You got your run game. Special teams is actually very good as well. And obviously, again, tempering expectations, I'm not expecting him to absolutely take over a game this season. If he does, that's awesome.
Yep.
But it's about learning this year. He doesn't have to be Superman. He doesn't have to put this team on his back yet. If we see it this year, awesome.
Yep. We got a handful of super chats jumping in here. I'm going to run through a couple of these really quick because we got Riptide jumping in with a $2 super chat saying 8-9 is a success, in my opinion. Anything more is icing. At the beginning of the season, I would have absolutely been on 100% in lockstep with this comment. 8-9 is absolutely a success because it showed that, guess what? The offense did well enough to, Bo Nix showed enough to win 8 games. Like, you put enough points on the board to win 8 games with a defense that at the beginning of this year, I thought was going to struggle. 8-9 is absolutely a success. 8-9 right now is the baseline. I expect this team to be at least 8-9 and on the cusp of getting into the playoffs. I think they should be a playoff team. Riptide jumps back in with another $2 super chat saying if Sean wants a playoff push, he has to get Alvin Kamara. You and I talked about this just a little bit before, and we've got another one hanging in the ways here. We got D-Dub jumping back in. We'll get to that here in a second, but I want to touch this really quick. Alvin Kamara on this Broncos team, Dylan, what are you willing to give up? So before I let you go, financially speaking, I don't think it's possible. But if you can figure out the financials, what would you give up to get Alvin Kamara on this team?
Man, that's tough. I think at most, and for me personally, it's like at the absolute most, a fourth round pick. And that's the absolute ceiling. Like, obviously he's been playing very well. He's a little older, but he's been playing good. Who says next season he doesn't get hurt or he's older and he kind of falls downhill? He's a running back, guys, that he doesn't drop off. And I mentioned before, there's a lot of running backs coming out of this draft. I would rather save a draft pick. Hey, maybe with that fourth round pick, you give up for Kamara. Maybe you go get a runner instead of that. Someone with less tread on their tire. There's so many, Ollie Gordon out of, I believe that's Oklahoma State, is one that comes to mind. Obviously, he'd be taken before that, but, lots of options outside of trading for a guy. Cool. Are you there, Lance? Am I frozen? Can anyone in the chat let me? Oh, there you are. I see.
Sorry, dude. I missed out on half of what you just said because my internet just froze. I do apologize
for that. No worries. Yeah, the basis of it was just I would rather look at like an Ollie Gordon or someone coming out of the draft.
Ashton Jaunty. Give me Ashton Jaunty because that's Alvin Kamara 2.0.
Exactly. So I'd rather spend a fourth round, a fifth round, whatever the heck, pick on a running back in the draft and save the money.
Yeah. Yep. I'm right there with you. Especially a fourth or fifth round pick, considering his cap hit is $30 million next season. The Broncos don't have room to make that even financially feasible. Especially right now. So back. No. All right. D-Dub jumping back in here with a $25 super chat. We're going to have to wrap it up here soon, guys, because technical difficulties. Dylan, obviously we're fighting through it. But it's okay. Hey, I love the conversation. This is so much fun. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys can tell, I'm getting pretty excited right now because I love doing this and I'm so happy to be back here. But D-Dub, jumping back off the top rope again, $25 super chat, saying true call Drill Brewer. Many times the play calling is Bo Nix too late in the clock. Don't want to put your rookie in that kind of situation. I think Bo has retained enough in preseason to convince Sean he's ready. He's still a rookie though. We kind of riffed on this a little bit, but I think that, and thank you, D-Dub. I think the big thing here is I don't want to absolve Bo of the issues that he's having with his footwork and his decision-making. While he's not putting the football in harm's way, he's still not seeing it the right way. I still want Sean Payton to put him in a better position to succeed. Dylan, dude, like seriously, the RPO stuff, the quarterback run, the design runs where they got him moving, the moving pocket stuff. Like, quite honestly, you seem to be more comfortable taking shots down the field when they run. It's not really a play action bootleg, but they're misdirecting everything, moving the pocket one way, getting Bo Nix out into some space where he can set his feet away from defenders and really see the field downfield. stuff like that, I think, needs to be more of a focus in this offense right now. Like, quite honestly, I wish Clint Kubiak was calling the plays for this Broncos offense.
I hear you there, man. Yeah, just get him comfortable. That's what we've been pushing all show. Just get him comfortable.
Yep.
He's not your perfect quarterback yet. He will get there, but you gotta make it a little easier for him.
Yeah. God, I'm getting blasted on the text line, and which is fine, guys. It's okay. We can all disagree or agree to disagree, and I'm fine with that 100%.
I'll let you take all the heat. They're staying away from me for now.
So. But I've driven the show and kind of taken over everything, so I do apologize for that. But thank you all for joining us on Orange and Blue View. It's fine, guys. I think that we all, again, objective criticism is something that we all need to understand. I'm not hating on a player, like wanting too much out of a guy. I think that we need to see better play all the way around offensively. Riptide jumping in here with another $2 super chat. Only see three must wins left, maybe four or five. Without pulling up, obviously, I do believe that the Broncos are going to blow out the Panthers this next coming game. It's going to be ugly. And quite honestly, this goes back to our opening conversation here, focusing on the running game. The Carolina Panthers defense is the third worst against the run, averaging 153.5 yards per game on the ground allowed. Like, that's a game they should win. Do they have a game against the Browns in there? And I know they got one against the Chargers and the Raiders for sure.
So next it's Panthers. Then we'll just go the next three games here. You got the Ravens, Chiefs, and Falcons the next three after. So that's
a tough stretch.
Pretty tough stretch right there.
Yep. That's a tough stretch. And the Ravens game is in Baltimore. The Chiefs game is in Kansas City too. And they're both early kickoffs from what I understand. So you're traveling to the East Coast to play Baltimore on an early time slot, which the Broncos have struggled with ever since Peyton Manning has been a part of this franchise. Since 2015, I believe they're like a 0.337 win percentage on the road in games that start at 11 o'clock on the East Coast. Like, it's not a good look there. And that Ravens offense with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson is just insane. You also got the Chiefs in Arrowhead, which is always a tough game for the Broncos. And then you get the Atlanta Falcons. Is that game in Denver or is it in Atlanta?
It's in Denver.
It's in Denver. Okay. So you got two NFC South opponents. And I think that the Atlanta game is going to be a really fun one. So if you guys get the opportunity to go down to Mile High Stadium, please go check that out, because I think that that's going to be a very fun matchup. I think Atlanta pairs up favorably well in doing what they do offensively compared to what the Broncos do defensively. And Atlanta's defense is not necessarily playing great football right now, from what I understand. So that could be a fun one. Just a quick off-the-cuff record prediction here, Dylan. The next four games, you got Carolina at home, on the road against Baltimore, on the road against Kansas City, at home against the Falcons. Do you think 2-2 is expected? I think it's expected at this point.
I think 2-2's got to be it. It's hard for me to see them going into Baltimore. Obviously, defense has played well, but against Lamar Jackson, things change pretty quick there. And now he's got Derrick Henry. But yeah, the most winnable ones there, I would say, obviously Panthers and then the Falcons. Like you said, they match up pretty decently there. But those other two on the road, back-to-back games, that could be a little rough.
Yeah. Phil McLaughlin jumping in here saying, as long as field goals turn into touchdowns, red zone efficiency improves, the running game continues to grow, we can beat anybody. And I 100% agree with this, Phil. 100% agree with this, because your defense is playing well enough right now. Like, I've said it earlier in the show, it's the number one defense in the NFL right now. Plain and simple, 100%. That's my true and honest objective opinion. The Broncos defense is the top defense in the NFL. And when you have a team that's going to hold opponents to 17 points a game, you should be able to beat anybody. I want to see a better offense come out here. And obviously you had Aaron Rodgers in week four, in the rain from Hurricane Helene. But at the same time, it's still Aaron Rodgers. That's a quality offense, a quality quarterback you're going against. Let's see it against Mahomes. Let's see it against Lamar Jackson. But this team, this defense is built to win right now. And if you can hold teams to 17 points, you should be able to win, especially with Sean Payton as your play caller.
Yep, my thoughts exactly.
We got D-Dub jumping back in with another $25 super chat. Ooh, good Lord, yeah. Sir. Holy cow. Thank you, D-Dub. We definitely appreciate you, man. Bose's escapability is next level. If you don't think we can win with him, everybody needs to remember Russ Wilson. Yes, that Russ. First couple years with the Legion of Boom. And Bo's upside as a pocket passer is going to go up.
It sure better.
I agree with this, though.
Yeah.
I agree with this take. And DW, I'm 100% right here behind you. You can develop an offense around what Bo Nix is doing right now, allowing him to run the offense, run the football, just create plays with his legs, and still work with him as a pocket passer, because there are times where he does do really nice things in the passing game. I want more consistency out of it for sure, but the tools are there. If he can process it fast enough and put the ball into the right position, it, like, throw with timing and accuracy, which we saw him do at Oregon for 2 years. Yeah, absolutely. I think you can win a lot of football games with Bo Nix being in that Russell Wilson type of role.
Definitely. That's the formula. Obviously, people want to, oh, he's already doing better than Russ last year. I don't want to hear any of that. I don't care about last year. A lot of different circumstances, including the defense wasn't as good and they had no run game. I'm by no means defending that dude. I hope he gets absolutely destroyed by the Jets, but you know, it's different circumstances in terms of roster and all that stuff. But if we're talking about him playing on a really good defense and we just move to his strength and playing to what he's good at, this team can go a lot further than people think.
Yeah. I do think that I said a playoff team. This team is absolutely capable of being a playoff team. Do I expect them to make the playoffs? No. Not right now, especially offensively. But should they be in the conversation? Like when CBS pulls up the graphic that says, these are your four AFC conference winners, these are your three wildcard teams, and then in the hunt, the Broncos should be the number one team in the hunt. Mm-hmm. They absolutely should be.
At the very least.
Exactly. They should be at least the number seven seed going into the AFC playoffs into what, week 14, week 15, week 16, that they should be right there. Even with the struggle, and again, not trying to crap on Bo Nix here. I'm not trying to be the Debbie Downer, but even with the struggles that Bo Nix has had thus far into the season, and hopefully we see more of him growing and making the plays necessary as a franchise quarterback that you drafted number 12 overall. Yeah, I think this team should be, and Todd says we are currently number seven, bruh. Yeah, and bruh, yes, I appreciate that.
You got to keep proving it.
Exactly.
Got to keep
doing it. Want more. Exactly. I want more.
I'm greedy.
There's a lot to like. I want more. Damn with right. That, guys, we're going to say goodnight to everybody here. And I know Dylan is like, get me the hell out of here. I'm tired of talking, damn it. And you've been a butthead, Lance. You've been pissing everybody, regardless. Anyways, thank you all for joining us here on a wonderful Saturday evening for the Orange and Blue View. You guys can follow us on Twitter by finding me, hold on, at @LanceS_MHH, and for Dylan, at @DylanVonArxMHH. Make sure you guys are also following at Mile High Huddle. That's the mother account where you guys get breaking news and analysis regarding your Denver Broncos. There's opinion articles, film breakdowns. I'm going to start throwing some of those out here soon as well. Anything regarding the Broncos, you're going to find it there. Facebook supporters, go to facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. Keep the conversation going. We definitely appreciate all of you guys over there on Facebook. And quite honestly, there's some interesting conversations over there as well. If you guys are financially able to do so, go to mhhmerch.com. Get your swag on. I'm Dylan. Concert Junkie, hit the merch booth, guys. Hit the merch booth. Get yourself a hat. Get yourself a t-shirt. Something for the guys. Something for the gals. A onesie for your baby. There's a scarf for your dog. Like, lots of cool stuff there. Coffee cups. The whole nine yards. MHH merch is where you guys are going to be able to find all of that. And if you guys are not financially able to do so, in terms of supporting the show with, you know, buying the merch, super chats, stars, donations, it doesn't matter. The fact you guys are here, 175 people still in the room right now, as I'm closing the show, subscribe. No matter where you guys are watching this, whether it's on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Apple Podcasts after the fact, on Spotify, you can find us at Mile High Huddle. Subscribe on all those social media platforms. Like every video and article you guys see on those platforms as well. And if you truly love it, please share it and get it in front of as many Broncos fans, because without your guys' support, we could not do what we do best, which is cover our Denver Broncos. Now, Dylan, I always throw this out to Eric before I close every show, and I know it's Orange and Blue View. This is your show. I got to drive it, though, so I'm going to actually finish it out the way. Any last words, my friend?
No, it's just thank you to everyone in the chat, everyone who donated. We appreciate it so much. When I was at the festival, I met maybe 10, 15 Broncos fans, and I tried to put them on, so hopefully – some of you made it in tonight. And if not, hey, we got shows every day, man. So keep up with your Broncos news. I believe we do it the best here. And just thank you all for listening. Thank you, Lance, for stepping in and driving the show while I'm a little under the weather, even though this conversation kind of perked me up here quite a bit.
Yeah, it was a fun show, man. Just to give a quick shout out, we got Phil McLaughlin on Facebook, Eric Flynn, Chad obviously jumping in here, Rip Tie, DW dropping bombs over there on with a super chat. Phil McLaughlin again, DW again. Like, thank you all for all of your guys' support. Again, without you guys, we couldn't do this. Like, you guys keep the lights on, and thank you so much for all of your support. For Dylan Von Arks, I am Lance Sanderson. You all stay safe and take care. Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see you guys on the Mile High Huddle podcast, I believe, on Sunday evening. And you guys take care. And as always, go Broncos.
Go Broncos.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.